Okay, let's start then. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come to thee with grateful hearts for thy goodness to us and preserving our lives up to this present time. We recognise that there are those in our midst and our membership who are sick. We pray thy grace to be upon them. Pray thy Spirit may attend our ways this evening and grant us a further blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, we're continuing with our study of the minor prophets, and just to reiterate something we said before, that they're called minor prophets simply because of their fairly small size compared with the major prophets like Daniel and Isaiah. But we've got as far as Zechariah this evening and chapter 4. So I think the first thing would be just to read through the chapter, perhaps taking two verses each, and then we can discuss the various verses in there and see if there are any interesting cross-references. And there are certainly some very important concepts raised in this chapter. So it starts off by saying, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof." Verse 3 and 4, please.
"And the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord?"
5 and 6.
"Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, Do you not know what are these, what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord."
Raymond?
"Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstones which shout of grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying," verse 9?
Yeah. Right, Janet, have you got
Yeah, okay. "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, with those seven that are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth."
Thank you. Badal?
11, yeah?
Yeah.
11. "Then I answered and said to him, What are these two olive trees at the right side of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? 13.
Yeah, and he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Amen.
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 What are symbols
Right, so I no doubt you've got that. I didn't really have time to look up all the cross references from E.G. White, but there's quite a lot mentioned against this chapter, but you may have some in your Bibles to look up. But looking at some of the references I did see from the commentary, and that's basically it, really. Although there's a fellow called Matthew Henry, he speaks at great length about some of the verses, which is, it's all good stuff, you know, but you'd need another half hour to cover all his comments.
But you
yeah.
I saw the reference in Daniel for verse. I suppose 1 and 2, because he said the angel came to bath and wakened me up as a man who woken out of his sleep and said, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking and there's a lampstand on solid gold and gold on top. And Daniel 8 verse 18-19 said, now he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, Daniel's vision, with my face to the ground. But he touched me and stood me up upright. And he said, look, I'm making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For the appointed time, the end shall be. So, I don't know whether all this symbol was pointing to one thing.
It's interesting. It's like a vision, really, and in the case of Zechariah, he was Zechariah, wasn't it? He was asleep, but it seemed as though he was having a continuation of another vision that came from the previous chapter, really. But One thing the references do say is that, you know, given it the overview, that there were relatively few people, because you had Zerubbabel, which was a very excellent civil leader, dealing more on that side of leadership, whereas in a previous chapter we dealt more with a spiritual leader in the person of Joshua, the high priest. But because there were only a few people and there were many enemies around, the people did need encouragement. And I think as we work through the chapter, we'll see that it's very important that we cooperate with God rather than thinking that we do everything our own way. You know. But
the seven golden lampstand, I suppose we'll find out what it meant. What mean.
Well, I think the idea of the golden lampstand is gold is a precious metal. So when God was instructing Moses to have the lampstand in the tabernacle, it would have to be the best materials, the best jewels, and so on. And if you remember, there were certain excellent people who worked with the metals and stones and things like that, and he was able to employ them in the work of the temple or the tabernacle at that time.
Yeah, and it's also the gold has significance, no?
Yes.
In Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, and I turned and see the voice that spoke with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. So that's, I think, it's Christ. Verse 14 says, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flaming fire.
Yes, fire. That was the Lord himself visiting John the Apostle with the message. Of course, I mean, there were many angels who came to John as well, as you go through the book of Revelation, but this was a special visitation from Jesus himself to give him that encouragement he needed. But,
So when Sister Noelle described the image of the Lord, where it says his head was as white as wool, that reminds me of Afro hair.
Well, yes, you could look at it that way,
You know.
So on in the there's a comment here from Christ Object Lessons, page 418 and 419. It said it was a golden oil emptied by the heavenly messengers into the golden tubes to be conducted from the golden bowl into the lamps of the sanctuary that produced a continuous bright and shining light. It is the love of God continually transferred to man that enables him to impart light into the hearts of all who are united to God by faith. The golden oil of love flows freely to shine out again in good works, in real heartfelt service to God or for God.
Yeah.
And I'm actually wondering whether there might be some truth in that, because when light, something about gold, I'm thinking that if light reflects on gold, it shines brighter. Isn't it?
Yeah. I think if
it won't shine on glass, it won't shine if it's reflected on glass or on brass or on many other materials I can think of.
But gold is the value, not even today. Gold is the value as well.
This passage specifically is talking about the light of God.
That's right, because one of the commentaries says is that the church is a candlestick. Now that might sound a bit odd, but when you think of Revelation, you've got a number of candlesticks representing the different seven churches there. They're symbolic because obviously there'd be more than seven churches worldwide, but the church has a responsibility to give out reflect the light of Christ. It's not a light in itself.
This passage also says a continuous bright and shining light.
Yeah. There's also a strangeness about this vision, because you normally think of the bowl being underneath with the lights on top, but in this case it seems as though the bowl is on top. But nevertheless, it's efficacious in the sense that the oil is coming through the tubes and giving light to the to the different lamps. So that covered that a little bit. Now we've got the verse 3. We've got
the olive trees.
Yeah, two olive trees, one each side.
There is a number 7 there.
Yes.
I think it's in verse 12.
Well, in that case, of course, we've got the matter of later on in the chapter of the eyes of the Lord, seven eyes of the Lord. That's verse 10, actually, isn't it?
The Revelation gave it as a reference. It says, and I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, standing before the God of the earth.
I take it that's the book of Revelation, is it?
Yes.
So you've got a time span mentioned there because it's symbolic. Many things are symbolic in the prophecies, of course. Mm-hmm. So if it's 1260, that's 1260 years. The day represents a year.
2600, yeah.
Well, what did the olive trees represent?
Well, the olive trees, according...
It's the oil from it, isn't it? The Holy Spirit.
Oh, right.
Well, the oil is like the Holy Spirit. It's a representation. Yeah. But the... we are jumping about a bit. It doesn't matter because we'll take it in and put it all together in our minds. But...
In Christ object lesson, Ilma.
Yeah.
The golden oil of love. It was the golden oil emptied by the heavenly messenger into the golden tube to be conducted from the gold. Yeah, I will mention from the gold into the lamp of the sanctuary that produced a continuous bright and shining light. It is the love of God continually transferred to men that enable him to impart light into the heart of all united to God by faith. The golden oil of love flows freely to shine out again in good work, real offer service. So, like I was saying, it's like a continuous blessing. It's only to enable the work of God, of men to shine. Continuous service.
That's right, so that we should be receptors of the Holy Spirit in the various circumstances we encounter. be a little break when we go to sleep at night, and then we wake up again and should be available to God. If we get that,
olive oil or olive trees are so significant in the book of Bible, yeah? Remember the widow lady when Elijah Elijah came to him and said, to her, said that
the widow?
The widow, yeah. something with the oil, it wouldn't
wouldn't
go dry. I think he's also talking about an olive oil and
a continuous blessing. Otherwise, we have good sustenance forever.
It is a fruit. So there's no animal things in there. It's an oil from the fruit, blessed fruit.
Mm.
It's not. You get oil from everywhere now. You still have olive oil in this bottle. Olive oil, I think the significance of it is the purity of it.
I don't know whether they had different purities in biblical times. I suppose it would be possible to have a... Well, we start off with extra virgin olive oil, don't we? And then
have
various processes so that you can have some more pure than other, but I mean it's the general concept that there is this oil which is coming from a plant which God created, but it's symbolic because it represents the Holy Spirit. And going back to the olive trees, we got Zechariah indicating a degree of ignorance, but that's what it appears like when he was asking the angel, but I suppose it could be that he thought he knew the answer. They wanted to obtain the benefit of a superior being that was with him. So he said, what are these? You know, and I answered again and said unto him,
So, I've got a comment from the... Are you using SDA Bible Commentary, Hilma?
I've got a commentary here, yeah.
The SDA, Mrs.
Yeah,
Weitzman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if there's any... I can look up some of the comments from the verses, but I mean, we're covering them fairly well, aren't we? You're covering some of them, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, in verse 11 it said, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And the answer came, he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now the question is, what are these anointed ones? And there's a little write-up in the commentary which says they are described as standing by the Lord in the symbolism of the olive trees provided oil for the lamps. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The anointed ones therefore represent the heavenly instrumentalities through which the Holy Spirit is imparted to human beings who are wholly consecrated to his service. The mission of the two anointed ones is to communicate light and power to God's people. Those who receive such a heavenly imparting are expected in turn to communicate these blessings to others." So that's interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
I suppose
you
could put this in context, I think, is a situation, right? Because when the Galilea came on the scene, the situation was that people was meant to rebuild the temple.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they haven't finished, they are all completed. And the courier came to encourage them to continue to finish the task, so to speak. But he did so according to here. He said, God, the temple was half completed, and Zechariah is commissioned by God to encourage the people in their unfinished responsibility, rather than exhorting them to action with strong words of rebuke. Zechariah seeks to encourage them to action by reminding them of the future importance of the temple. So maybe that's what all these symbols of the Holy Spirit in the temple, a golden lampstand, like in the sanctuary in Exodus.
Yeah, it's interesting when you go back to look at the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which we studied in prayer meeting some time ago, that it was quite important at that time to have some sort of protection. So they were building the city wall, weren't they? Because of the possibility of attack, you have one person with a sword in his hand and another working with the bricks and mortar. So it's quite a job, but they succeeded, and then they were able to put more effort into the temple.
So now it's tied in. It makes sense if you look at the background of the situation. It's like us really need to encourage us. Is a number of things to move forward.
Mm. Yeah. There's another concept here I've listed. It's verse 7, the Great Mountain. The commentary says it's symbolic of the seemingly insuperable difficulties. Zerubbabel mm-hmm. had to meet in accomplishing his purpose. So it's a cross reference actually in Isaiah 2:2. I don't know if anyone's got that handy.
I got Jeremiah 51:25.
That's another one, yeah.
It says, "Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain." Then it gave the same reference, Zechariah 4:7. "Will destroy all the earth, says the Lord, and I will stretch out my hands against you, roll you down from the rock, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord." Yeah.
Well, that's
was that Isaiah 2:2?
Yeah, the one. Yeah, verse two. Chapter 2:2. If you'd like to read it. Yeah.
No, it said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it."
Yes, thanks. It's symbolic, really, because the temple doesn't have to be built on a mountain, but in the case of Zerubbabel, although you see something which appears to be an obstacle, by faith it can be removed, and that reminds me of another cross-reference, where in Matthew 17:20, where the Lord is talking about by faith you can remove mountains.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if we tried it, it wouldn't work. There's the wrong sort of mountain to be moved, I suppose. Yeah.
It can represent two things as well now. It could represent strength, power, or obstacle.
Yeah.
You know, you build a mountain for yourself when you do not do kind of thing.
It's quite difficult, actually, because, you know, when Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain, and if you believe in your heart, without doubting that, and you know, it shall be done." It sounds like an instruction, but I know it's to do with your faith and your belief. But at the same time, you know, it takes some great faith to actually speak. So I know God spoke into being and it came to pass. We as his followers, if you sort of be as courageous as to speak something into being,
yeah,
you have to believe without doubting that it will come to pass. Now, how many of us have that capacity and that courage to believe without doubting? It's quite a difficult thing.
I think
there's
two things there. I mean, one is obviously it shows a closeness to God so that you have that faith. But then if you are that close to God, then you wouldn't waste the power by removing physical obstacles because it's not necessary. So, but what you would be doing is removing spiritual obstacles. And we know that the Lord can work wonders, you know, and this is why you should, I've been on a nominating committee recently, and before every candidate was considered, we had a little prayer, and I'm sure the Lord comes in for us and helps us to choose according to his will, you know. I think it's the same with the mountains, that, there are different kinds of mountains, and that God can remove them. The other thing is the eyes of the Lord in verse 10. Who hath despised the day of small things? Well, we should never despise small things because we've got these little seeds that grow into great trees and things. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And so what do we have?
I got Agai 2 verse 3. Well, maybe 2 and 3 then. He said, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? I think possibly what it meant, because they've left, remember the history, they've left the temple in ruin.
Yeah, and the Jews were rather disappointed because the temple they were building then wasn't as good as the original one.
So those who saw the former glory, I guess, could almost make a comparison to what it is now and what they're building.
There couldn't have been so many. When you consider when the temple was built, then you add to it taking away into Babylon and then coming back, there must have been quite a few older ones who could remember that. Anyway, that is the fact that the there's a connection between the eyes of the Lord and apparently the seven, and the lamps of the candlestick. So, yeah.
You've got 5 minutes,
a couple
of minutes.
Yeah. Well, if anyone has any more.
I don't know if we mentioned this one. One of the commentaries says the capacity for receiving the holy oil from the two olive trees which empty themselves is by the receiver emptying that holy oil out of himself in word and in action to supply the necessities of other souls. Work, precious, satisfying work, to be constantly receiving and constantly imparting. The capacity for receiving is only kept up by imparting.
So that raises questions like, are you exhausted afterwards? Or because you're close to God, you're not?
Well, I would think you're not, because it's the Holy Spirit that's putting in and imparting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're not actually doing it by your own works.
You should be fresher than when you started then.
Well, it's a concept.
Well, what comes to me is as the Lord gives to you, as he pours in to your spirit, and you give it out to others, it will be a constant flow, because God will continue to pour in and you continue to give out. Therefore, many benefit from the word that you have given.
And if it's not going out, the pipes will be blocked.
It's very serious if you've got a blockage, but if you haven't got a blockage and you're operating as you should, then it's a marvellous existence. I think that's all I can contribute, but if you have anything else, that'd be great.
Thank you,
Ilma.
Thank you, Ilma.
Welcome.
Did we also say that the word itself, they say, the word itself must be represented, the golden oil, emptied from the two olive trees that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. This is the baptism of by the Holy Spirit with fire. Did we say that? I'm not sure.
I don't see the word fire in this chapter, but it might come in elsewhere.
This is from the commentary, yeah.
Yeah, the fire represents the power, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the...
Well,
we have been heard, but when you contact with the spirit and with fire, you have great power and zeal, actually, as I imagine.
Yeah. Didn't John the Baptist say something about that when he was considering the one who comes after him was greater than he was?
That's right, yes, yes. He said, I baptize you with water, but the one that comes after me will baptize you with fire. Yeah.
So, and that's what we encourage to do these days anyway. We encourage to ask for the daily baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Especially for these times.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your contributions. That's great. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you,
Hilma.
Thank you, everyone.
Now, prayer request first. I'll request for those who are sick, Sister Berlin. We've been trying to get all